So as we're looking at this account in Matthew chapter 9, it's a great story. And actually, if you look at the account and the whole account, you can see here, this also touches on Jairus, touches on the woman with the issue of blood, you can see here. And as Jesus healed went to Jairus' house and healed the daughter. And what's interesting is it had to have been noised abroad. It had to have been noised that Jesus just raised this girl from the dead. And what's interesting is sometimes we can just read over scriptures and really not get the impact of the story. And it says that when Jesus departed what? Departed out of Jairus' house. He just left the house where he raised the girl from the dead. And these two blind men were there. They had to have seen it. They knew it. And it said they followed him. And did what? It said they were crying and saying. When you look those words up in the Greek, it said followed, and Rick Renner points this out. He said that word follow means in a very determined and purposeful manner. I mean, they were going to get what Jesus was offering. And so they were determined to get it. Purposeful. And it says they were crying. He said that word crying is, he said in the Greek, really means to be shouting at the top of one's lungs, screaming, hey, hey. And Jesus, isn't it interesting? He paid them no attention. He didn't even stop. He just kept going. Isn't that odd? You would think he'd turn around or stop. He didn't stop. And I think what's interesting is that, you know, here these two blind men continued until it says he went into the house and they followed him right in. They were going to get something. Almost like, and if you read at the beginning of the story in chapter 9, it really talks about Jesus was in the house and what? It said that they let the man with the palsy down through the roof. Same thing. They said, no, 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 I'm getting something. He tore up the roof. The four men did that carried him and did what? They let him down through the roof. So these two blind men were going to get something. How determined are we to get something that's been promised? Are we just letting go of something too easy? It's mine. You know, I've shared this before. You hold on to the word unless you get some other instruction from the Holy Ghost. And you don't budge from what's been promised. You hold on to it. It's mine. It's been paid for by the blood of Jesus. The word is forever settled in heaven. That means that which has been given to me is forever settled. It's settled. It's mine. You know, some of us fight more over earthly things than we do eternal things. You'll scrap over two nickels to get your little stuff and fight. You get lawyers. You go after it. I'm getting this because it's mine. Why? Because it's in a contract. And you go after it and won't let go. But we let go too easy of things that have been promised. We begin to wonder and question and doubt. And so I say, just like these two blind men, they were determined to get something and not let go. And so you can read on, and what did Jesus do? They marched in. They came into the house. And the first thing he did, what did he do? He tried to locate him. He said, believe ye that I'm able to do this. Some of the scriptures, it says, do you believe I can make you see? Some scriptures say, do you believe I have the power to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. And then what did he do? He was locating them. He didn't say, just because I promised this, or it's my power, or my will. He didn't say that. He wanted to locate them. Do you believe? Do you believe that I can do this? And they said, yes, Lord. And then what did he do? He said, then what did he do? Then touched he their eyes and said, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to what? Your faith. So that means that there's a lot of people today that are asking God to do something just like them, just like those two blind men. Lord, have mercy on me. And yet here we have the scriptures that share with us that after the resurrection, the healing and sin has been paid for. All we have to do is do what? Take it, receive it. We don't have to wait. So here you go on and you can continue the story. But what I like, you know, I was sharing this the other day, one other message. It says, according to your faith, be it. I mean, I just stopped right there on the word be. He said, according to your faith, be it. Not according to his power, be it. He said, according to your faith, be it. If you look that word be up, it means to become, to be made, to happen, begin to be. According to your faith, you're prosperous. According to what? Your faith. Not just the promises of God. Lord told me that years ago. He said, if you'd work the word in the area of finances, like you're working the word in the area of healing, this is what he spoke to me. He said, you wouldn't have room enough to contain it all. So I have to do something. I have to work the word. If I don't walk in all the blessings of God, it's not his fault. He gave me some instructions. It's according to my faith. I've got to work the word. So do you. Amen. You've got to apply it. You've got to work it. Speak it. If you lack peace, work the word. If you lack something that's been promised, work the word of God. What does that mean? Speak it. Keep speaking it till it comes. Grace provides. Faith does what? It receives. And so, let me keep moving here. Mark 9. Let's take a look over there. Mark chapter 9. And verse 22, this is the story where the disciples didn't cast out the dumb spirit out of the boy. And so Jesus got on this on their case. And now verse 22, it says, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do what? If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I'm reading from the King James. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You know, it's interesting. King James, you can read right through it. Punctuation matters, doesn't it?
Yes.
If you read the New Living Translation, it says, have mercy on us and help us if you can. Verse 23, what do you mean if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. You say, what do you mean if I can? I've got the power to do this. What do you believe? That's what the Good News translation says. Have pity on us and help us if you possibly can. Yes, said Jesus, if you yourself can. He's saying you can. Everything is possible for the person who has faith. Hallelujah. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians. I want to jump over here today. Got a few scriptures to look at. 2 Corinthians 5, 7, familiar scripture. For we live, we walk, I guess we could say the King James says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Some of the translations say, for we live by believing, not by seeing. We live by believing. Say that. We live by believing, not by seeing. The 20th century New Testament says we guide our lives by faith and not by what we see. We guide our lives by faith and not by what we see. The Weymouth translation says, for we're living a life of faith and not one of sight. So we live this life by believing, not by seeing. And of course, you know, I'm not going to take the time here, but we could read the story about Thomas, who went about and said, I don't believe. And Jesus, after 8 days, was in the midst of him, came through the wall and said, Thomas, come over here, stick your finger in my side and put your hand or my finger in my hand and thrust your hand and thrust it into my side. Be not what? Faithless, but believing. Be not faithless. That means no faith, but believing. Some of the translations say, do not be a doubter, but a believer. I'm not a doubter, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. And so, believing is a choice. Thomas made a choice to not believe. It wasn't that he couldn't. He chose to not believe. And so it's the same with us. We choose to either believe or not believe. Now let's turn over to Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. Familiar scripture. I want us to focus on this faith walk that we have. We walk by faith and not by what we see. We walk by believing and not by our seeing. In Hebrews 11, it says, now faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. It's the evidence. What's the evidence? My faith is the evidence of things what? Not seen. So faith, when it's in operation, when it operates, is dealing in what? The unseen, not the seen. I don't need faith for things that I see. I can see it. I have to have faith for things I don't see. And goes on, it says, for by it, the elders, or by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So some people say, well, God made this earth from nothing. No, things aren't nothing. He made things that we see were not made from what? Things which do appear, or which appear. So if it's faith, we're dealing with the not seen. So you can see that faith, it gives assurance about things what we cannot see. Faith gives assurance for things. If you're in faith, you don't have to see it. There's a substance of faith. Faith is substance, substantive. It's in your heart or in your spirit. You know you have it. I've got this. And I don't have to see it because I know it. I know I have this. So faith deals with things that we can't see. It says that faith gives us proof of what we cannot see. That's faith. Faith doesn't need proof of something I can't see. Why? Because I know I have it. I have that. So faith, now faith, again, we're talking about something that implies present tense, now. The NIV, it says, we're certain of what we do not see. The Weymouth talks about a conviction of the reality of things we don't see. So things we don't see are real. We just don't see them. You know, I ask this question, a simple question. How many have taken or flown a prop jet or a propeller airplane? You know, some of us, we get on jets, or most of us fly jets. We take commercial, we take jets. But then there's propeller planes, right? I've flown propeller. Let me ask a question. When it gets up to speed, can you see the propeller? No. Is it there? Yeah. Doesn't mean it's not real. Go stick your finger in there. You'll find out whether it's real or not, or it exists. So there's things that we can't see that are real. That's just a natural example. You go fast enough with something, you can't see it. Now, I don't know, I haven't tried that in a car yet, but that'd be nice. If you go fast enough, they can't see you. I'm just joking. I'm just kidding. I don't have that type of car yet, but anyways, let me move on. So actually here, when we have conviction about something, we're in faith. That means that I'm sure of something. But you know what will kill faith, what will damage faith, is condemnation. Condemnation will hinder your faith. Now let's turn over to Philippians. I want us to jump over there for a moment. Philippians chapter 4. Familiar scripture. But a lot of us, we need to meditate on this a little bit. We're talking about faith. We're talking about things that are not seen. But Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7. I'm going to read from the King James, but I really want to park a little bit on some other translations because it'll help us. It says, be careful for nothing. That doesn't mean be attentive to something or careful about it. It just means be careful for nothing, and we'll look. You need to look at what that really means. But in everything, by prayer, so that means being careful doesn't mean in everything. It says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. When you do that, what's verse 7? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That word careful in the Greek means to be anxious, to be troubled with cares. Think a surefire way, if you're careful about things, it will kill your faith. It'll kill your faith, and I'll tell you why. Let's take a look at this. The Weiss translation says, stop worrying about even one thing. Is that possible? Guess it is. The word says so. One thing, in the King James says, be careful for a few things. It says no thing. That means not even one thing, which is what the Weiss says. Don't worry about even one thing. Boy, you know, we have to stop and go, you mean I can't even worry about this? No. No. What does that mean? That means that if you do, if you worry about one thing, this says here, then the peace of God doesn't guard your heart and mind. Why? Because that one thing is in there affecting your heart and mind. This talks to all of us, because we all live here. Something is going to get your attention. I've got to think about this. No, you don't. You don't have to worry about it. Because it says, it doesn't say that you don't do something about it. What are we supposed to do? It says, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we are doing something. We're just not stuck in a rut, thinking about it, meditating about it. This is the Letters translation. It says, don't worry about everything. Don't worry about anything, but talk to the Father about everything. Tell him what you need and keep thanking him. You tell him what you need and you just keep thanking him. That's faith.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you.
The Barclay translation says, don't worry about anything. In every circumstance of life, see, there's going to be circumstance of life. Tell God about the things you want to ask him for in your prayers and your requests to him, and bring him your thanks too. Listen to this, the New American Bible. It says, dismiss all anxiety from your minds. You know, you read enough of these translations, you go, oh, I need to make some corrections here. I need to adjust. I need to not be careful for things. Worry about this. Be anxious for this. Have anxiety. Fret. Some of the translations say, don't fret about anything. See, anxiety and worry and cares are confidence killers. Why? Because you're not confident that God can handle this. Because you're worrying about it. So it's a faith killer. Worry and anxiety and fretting about things. How am I going to make the money to pay the bills? How am I going to do this? What about my child? What about all of these things are worries. It doesn't say that you don't do anything about it. It says that you make your requests of what you need to God with thanksgiving. Faith releases and activates the power of God to go into action in your behalf. See, when you're fretting about it, faith is squashed. Faith then can't activate the power of God to work in your behalf. Why? Because you're worrying about it. Gets quiet when you talk about this because it's talking to me. I don't know about you, but every one of us have little things in our life that we fret about or we worry about. And it has to be the Holy Ghost that say, stop that. Amen. Don't do that. Amen. Don't worry about that. What are you worrying about that for? Amen. Be careful for nothing. Nothing. Don't fret about one thing. That's a peaceful life. Knowing that God's got this. Right? This is the basic translation. Have no cares. That means nothing. Be careful for nothing. Have no cares. Somebody would say, that's not possible. Then you're calling God's word a lie. And he said in Malachi, I change not. I cannot lie. So he's telling us to have no cares. Says, but in everything with prayer and praise, put your request before God. Prayer and praise. That's our thing. When we get into a pickle, we get into, you know, things that we're capturing our mind, prayer and praise. Let your request be made known unto God. Let's turn to Colossians. You're right there. Let's go over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. See, we're still talking about this faith of the seen, not faith is of the unseen, not the seen. This is saying here, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Do what? Set your affection. This is what the King James said. My margin says mind. Set your mind on what? Things above. Not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Listen to this. This is the NIV. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. What does that mean? That doesn't mean we just walk around and, you know, like, whoo. No, you have things to do. You've got responsibilities. It just means don't worry about it. Don't be, seek him first, prayer and praise. Seek him first with the issues of life that confront you. That's what that means. Listen to the Message translation. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground. See, this is what it said. Absorbed. Absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Don't be absorbed with the things that are going on here in the earth. Don't be absorbed with all the stuff going on with your life and the issues. Seek him. See things from his perspective. See, we're not operating to get the victory. We're operating from a place of victory. So things above or things of heaven is what we can't see. That's what we're to set our minds on. We're to set our minds on things we can't see, heavenly things. Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace. So when we worry and we fret, it's carnally minded. You won't have peace. But to be spiritually minded is to set your mind on things above. And it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds. What does that mean? When we're spiritually minded, you're faith minded. See, when you're carnally minded, you're worry minded. You're fret minded. You're anxious. You're in anxiety. That's to be carnally minded. That's to be what? Earthly minded. If you're not sure about that, meditate on it a little bit. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. I'm going to land somewhere. I'm still trying to get to what I have to share today. But you're not going to be here long, because we got a cherry on this here. It's on this cake here. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. And it says, he that doubteth, see the word doubteth, is damned if he eat. So this is talking about a person that eat and then doesn't eat in faith, right? And it says, is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. See, he doubted. He didn't eat of faith. And what does it say? For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So when we get over into anxiety and worry and we're carnally minded and we're not spiritually minded, it's sin. We're fretting and have anxious thoughts about things. It's sin. Now, this isn't a message about sin. We're still talking about faith. But we just need to see, when we get over into doubt about things, it's not faith. That which is not of faith is sin. Listen to this. This is the Weymouth translation. It says, for all conduct not based on faith is sinful. All conduct not based on faith is sinful. Listen to this. This is the Message translation. You need to get this message and go back and meditate on it a little bit. Amen. The Message translation. If the way you live isn't consistent with what you believe, then it's wrong. If the way you live isn't consistent with the way you believe, it's wrong. I'm a believer and not a doubter. So that means I have to live my life as a believer. I walk by faith and not by sight. I'm to be spiritually minded and not carnally minded. So my life and the way I live my life has to be consistent with how I believe. And if I don't, then it's sin. That's what the scripture says. Here's another translation, the God's Word translation. Anything that is not done in faith is sin. So that means if you take your money, you bring it in, you bring in your tithe, and if it's not done in faith, you can have all good intentions. But if it's not done in faith, if you're not seeding that, planting it, speaking over it, what's faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So everything has to be done by faith. See, we got to come up a little more in our thinking and about faith and what we think and how we approach this, right? So now here's today's message. That was just the warm-up. That was the appetizer, just to get you ready for this. Is that all right? Okay, this is what the Holy Ghost kept saying in my spirit loud. What does your faith see? This is what he said. And I'll tell you, it had to stop me, because I said, okay, this is what he kept saying to me. What does your faith see? And it stopped me, and I've been thinking about it, meditating on it. What does your faith see? Does it see sickness, or does it see health? Does it see prosperity, or does it see lack? What does your faith see? Does it see the seen, or does it see the unseen? And it's made me make some corrections, because there's things that I've been looking at in the seen and not the unseen. Oh my Because he's already done it. Prayer and praise. So what does your faith see? This is what he kept saying to me. When it's faith, it sees the not seen. Faith sees the impossible and knows it's possible. Faith sees the impossible and knows that it's possible. Faith sees that. So I ask the question, what does your faith see? Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Familiar scripture? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, what does your faith see? While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What does your faith see? Is your faith seeing temporal things or eternal things? What does your faith see? Listen to this. This is the Berkeley translation. We do not fasten our eyes on the visible, but on the unseen. What are you fastening your eyes to? The Good News Bible says, for we fix our attention not on things that are seen, but on things that are unseen. That's what I fix my attention on. The minute I start to fix my attention on something seen and I find myself being anxious over it, no. No. It's carnal. It's sin. Because I'm now getting out of faith. I'm getting over into doubt. I'm getting into worry. I'm getting anxious about something. It's not faith. Faith sees and knows. Faith says, I've got this. See, some of us start in faith. We walk in faith for a while, and then we get over and start looking. We start to say, well, it hasn't changed. Maybe, I don't know. You're beginning to be careful for something. You're beginning to fix your eyes on something that hasn't changed yet. If it hasn't changed yet, it's still temporal. It's got to change. The Jordan translation, we just don't put any stock in outward things, but in inner things. For outward things are perishable, while inner things are eternal. We don't put any stock in it. See, and I'm not telling you to ignore the leading of the Lord and then miss it and get in the ditch there. You hold on to the Word of God until or unless you get further instructions. Because what is this Bible? Hold your Bible up. Say, this is my Bible, and this is God speaking to me. This is God speaking to me. Well, I don't need any further instructions. This is God speaking to me. I stand on it, I hold on to it, and I fix my gaze on it. And if he needs to give me some further instructions, that's what he sent the helper for. That's what he did that for. How do we look at the things not seen? by faith. We look at the things not seen by faith. Faith is all about the unseen. We walk by faith and not by sight. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. I'm trying to be done here. Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. Romans chapter 8, I trust this is stirring your heart a little bit. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and 25. It says, "For we are saved by hope." That word hope is expectation. That means confident expectation of eternal salvation. That's not hoping and hoping and believing. That means you're expecting this to come. For we're saved by hope. But hope, that is what? Seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? I don't need to believe and expect for something I see. But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Patience, faith and patience. I have faith and I'm patiently waiting. I have it. So if you have faith, you have you to expect. Now let's turn. I want to just kind of finish up here. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's look at starting in verse 4. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are what? Kept by the power of God. How? Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, this is the verse I want to finish with here. Whom, having what? Not seen, ye love. Whom, having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Remember what I said? Prayer and praise. So believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. A faith person is a rejoicing person. Whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though you now see him not, yet believing ye rejoice. So a faith person is a rejoicing person. Yes, sir. Not a person consumed with anxiety and worry. Cast all of your care. Let it go. A faith person rejoices. Why? Because you have it. A faith church is a rejoicing church. A faith church is a rejoicing church. If you walk in faith, then you rejoice. I could go as far as saying, if you're not rejoicing, you're not in faith. You're in worry. and concern and care. So I rejoice because we're believers and not doubters. We rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Because I've set my sights on things above and not on earthly things. That's just the way it is. And if we're not there yet, if you need the power of God in your life in this area, get more word. Keep feeding on the word. Keep feeding on the word. Keep feeding on the word. You know, when Jesus couldn't get the results, what did he do? He went about teaching and preaching and teaching and preaching and healing. So if we're not getting the results in our lives that we should, keep feeding, keep feeding, keep speaking. And it'll come to pass. Hallelujah. So let me finish up. What does your faith see? What does it see? It should be seeing the eternal, the unseen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
You know, everybody's got issues and things, you know, the family dynamics and all of these things that go on in families. And sometimes, you know, people working J-O-B, you know, all of the dynamics that go on. We can get caught up murmuring and complaining about those dynamics and not setting our affections on things above and not looking to him, but just as it's the message said, you know, being absorbed with things around us, in front of us, and not setting our affections on him. We have been risen with Christ, and our life is hid in Christ, and we're kept by the power of God. We're kept by the word of God. I think a good measure is if we're not in peace about something and our minds are consumed with things, anxious, then we're taking on a care that God never intended us to do. He said, don't worry about one thing. King James says, be careful for no thing. That means not one thing. Not a thing. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, the word of God. The entrance of your word gives light. Thank you for correcting us. Thank you for shedding light into our hearts where we need to make corrections. Because as we do, we'll walk in peace and life more abundantly. And thank you that you never meant us to take care and worry. That's what Jesus did. He took it. And so we thank you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you. This gospel is full of power. It has the power to cause us to walk in life peacefully and prosperously and abundantly. Hallelujah. Glory to God.